Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
You probably heard a lot of that music this past month. It's from The Nutcracker, which is a holiday staple for ballet companies around the country. For example, the San Francisco Ballet. Here's dancer Jacob Salsa-Rios, who plays the roles of dancing Nutcracker and Spanish dancer in the most recent production.
It really takes a lot of belief in your need to express, and also a feeling of connection to other human beings.
The ballet is trying to expand their connection to their audience. They had a special performance for those with sensory challenges, which my family and I enjoyed attending. Afterwards, I sat down with Jacob and Jasmine Yep Huynh, Associate Director of Education for the San Francisco Ballet.
Jasmine, this was a performance by the San Francisco Ballet for sensory sensitive people. We came to it because of my daughter. She is sensory sensitive. She is an intellectually disabled child. She loved it. So I'd love you to start by telling me, why do a performance like this, and what changes in this compared to one that's not for people with sensory needs?
What happens on stage is the same. We really wanted to make sure that if we created a sensory-friendly performance, that we weren't taking out the magic of Nutcracker. We wanted to make sure they were seeing and experiencing the full orchestra, the full cast of professional dancers, all of the kids from San Francisco Ballet School, that they were still seeing everything that a audience member might see three nights before. And so we really worked closely with our partners at Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area, who guided us and really were incredible partners and collaborators to think about what are the needs of audience members with autism or sensory sensitivities, developmental disabilities, cognitive and physical disabilities, and really thinking, how do we make San Francisco Ballet's Nutcracker accessible, welcoming, and something that all ages and abilities could experience.
So my daughter and the people behind us and the people in front of us had running commentary the entire performance. And I'm so used to saying, Maya, shh, Maya, shh. And I didn't have to say that one time. And in fact, it made it more enjoyable. How do you come to a place where you can set up a ballet performance in the San Francisco Opera House that allows for things like the lights to be on the entire time and people to get up and walk and move around?
It's a lot. It takes a lot of people having the conversations with everyone who needs to be a part of that to think about how do we keep it safe and inclusive and welcoming so people can come and experience it on their own terms. So it's the lights being on. It's letting everyone know that they can bring their fidgets and their devices and their STEM toys. They can talk. They can vocalize. They can go to the movement area and dance with their family, because that's what the performance is making them feel. Seeing Jacob pop out of a box as a Nutcracker doll, and maybe the music makes them want to jump up too, giving them a safe space to do that, and thinking about all of the details that we learned from our first year. Last year was our inaugural one, and now being able to say we learned from that and we're going to make our second annual even better, and then next year's third annual sensory friendly performance even better, so that more people can experience this art form. I had a young teenager with autism sitting next to me, and at the end she turned around and she said, "This is the best day of my life," and was a running commentary. There's Clara and her mom, and they're reunited as Clara runs up to the stairs and gives her mom a hug, and that running commentary was completely welcome. It's a shush-free, shame-free space, and I think everyone involved today really made that magic happen on stage and in the lobby and in the house.
Jacob, what was that like as a dancer on the stage? I mean, you popped out of the box. My daughter went,
It's a little bit of a shocking experience, not expecting what's going to happen.
How does it feel when you're on the stage and you can see the entire audience and you can see little fidgeting bodies and people moving around? And I don't know, could you hear the running commentary?
Yeah, actually, it's funny because as I popped out of the box, it was like, you know, the explosion of noise and then people saying things. And I like, it's also very hard to hear in that head, the music. So it was like, oh my gosh, this, and thankfully my friend was counting me in. So I got on the right music. But in some ways, it can be a little bit challenging because it's different from what we're used to. But I love knowing that there's people out there that are getting something from it. And especially when it's something involuntary that they're like, I was watching the pas de deux as I'm standing side stage, and I see this little girl who's dancing like perfectly, and I know that she feels what I'm feeling, which is the power of the music and the dance. Be able to see that in the moment is priceless, I think.
You know, one of the things it also struck me is what a diverse set of dancers were on the stage. And then I was like, of course, San Francisco, it's the San Francisco Ballet. But I think, Jasmine, what you did was truly bring diversity in doing this show for an audience that is honestly mostly excluded from things like this. And I know my daughter, her hands went to her ears so many times because she's so used to things that all of a sudden are loud. And then her hands just fell away because she realized she didn't need it. So I just want you to talk about developmental disabilities, physical disabilities, as part of how the San Francisco Ballet sees diversity and inclusion.
I think ballet and dance can be and should be for everyone. And performances like today's Sensory Friendly open those doors up and allow audience to not just know, but feel, to actually know that this is a place where they can come and be themselves and experience it on their own terms. Working with Martin West, the conductor, and thinking about what goes into the music, the levels, startling moments, so that audience members like your daughter can release their hands from their ears or are wondering, do I need my noise canceling headsets? And talking with our crew and our production team about the lights and what is the right level to keep the lights on above the audience. Our house manager about what is the experience once they walk into the building. All of our teams thinking about what's their interaction with SF Ballet on the website before they even come into the building. Are they getting a sensory friendly social story pre-visit guide? Are they getting a visual checklist? Really thinking about how San Francisco Ballet can make the art form and the performance accessible and inclusive.
I have to say, I felt more relaxed. I didn't feel like if I need to sneeze or if I need to, that I felt so relaxed because we could all be relaxed. And I wonder how that felt on the stage, Jacob.
Yeah, it's funny that we mentioned this because I was just having a conversation with the dancer before the show, how we were talking about last year's, how, because we had danced together in that show, and how we felt in the role that we were doing that is usually quite stressful for us, it almost felt calming at a certain point. Having the lights there, it feel a little bit more like there was less ceremony and pretentiousness, if that's the right word for me.
I have to say that was the right word for me.
To it, and it felt like maybe then because of that, there's more accessibility or more of a chance to enjoy the art and to connect to it and connect to each other.
Well, thank you both so much.
Yeah, thank you for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
San Francisco Ballet dancer Jacob Salsa-Rios and Jasmine Yep Nguyen.